Welcome to the 26th episode of A Change of the Chance. My name is Ryan Lowe, and it is my goal to educate listeners, especially young ones, on the issues in this world by interviewing different experts who can lead us into the charge for change. Every so often, I get to interview changemakers on location. So today, I am in Chennai, India, at the Zoho Corporation campus, talking to Mr. Rajendran Dandapani, head of Zoho Schools of Learning, where I have been lucky enough to shadow the classrooms. Zoho is a 26-year-old technology company. Its culture and founding philosophies are drastically different from most corporations out there. At Zoho, employees are like family, and maximum profit is not the priority, at least not in exchange for disruption of culture and employee and customer satisfaction. Zoho also believes that traditional college degrees do not need to be a requirement for its hires. It believes that there is another option that is more meaningful to finding your career path. And that is Zoho Schools of Learning. Zoho Schools was founded in 2004 as an alternative for kids who otherwise would not have the opportunity for higher education. Since then, it has more than 1,400 graduates, and many have become managers at Zoho. So today, we are talking with Mr. Rajendran, who is the head of Zoho Schools. So Mr. Rajendran, can you talk a little bit about why there is a need to disrupt higher education? Why is the current system broken?
Okay, so I'll have to start a little more humbly, perhaps. So I don't want to say we started because the current system was broken, or we started with the need to disrupt something. Yeah. So Zoho is a different kind of company, a unique company. And more important, we started because we had a need that wasn't being fulfilled by the current education system. We weren't a very famous brand either at that time, so we couldn't just wait for the best talent to come knocking at our doors. So we had to go to the real ends of the world looking for talent, and the kind of people we saw there, for the most part, were not really equipped. They claimed to be software engineers. They claimed to have finished a four-year degree in computer engineering. But they lacked the context. They hadn't learned it in an experiential manner. And most of the stuff they had learned was irrelevant by the time they graduated out of college. And so they ended up being trained here at our company, even after they had supposedly done a full four-year degree course. The other problem that we noticed was most of our people who were great computer engineers here didn't actually do computer engineering back at school. So there were electronics engineers, there were liberal arts and language specialists who had developed a liking for software. And they weren't really keen on getting more marks in Java 101, but they were interested in hacking. They were interested in solving a problem that they had using software. So we were looking at problem solvers. We were looking at hackers. And we couldn't get any. So we thought, why can't we start something that will probably help our own need? Yeah, so that's how Zoho Schools was born. And then over time, we have understood that the reason why there aren't so many hackers and so many true to the term computer engineers out there could be because the higher education system is broken or flawed. And computer programming is a different beast than mechanical engineering or electronics, because everything is done from a problem-solving approach sort of thing. And you can't really write stuff in pen and paper and list things out and get done with it, memorize and get done with it. Everything you do with a program, with a computer, is it's a battle of wits. You try to outsmart the computer. You try to bend it to your will. It's a different kind of ball game altogether. So I don't think the higher education system, at least the place where I come from, India, has really figured that out and understood that this has to be handled differently. So that is how Zoho Schools was born 18 years ago. So we got some kids together who had that mathematics, problem-solving aptitude, and the so-called fire in the belly, the right attitude to work in a team. We looked for such people. We brought some faculty, not from some outside colleges, but from within the company, which means they were active practitioners, a software engineer interested in teaching software, rather than a computer science professor who had probably never ever built software. There is a clear distinction between computer programming and software development. Most of the computer science college profs are computer programmers, perhaps. But software development is far more than just being able to write code. Right? So this is what we try to teach here at Zoho Schools. Yes, along the way, we tried to disrupt higher education unwittingly. It wasn't a plan. But today, after 18 years and 1,500 students graduated out of Zoho Schools, later, we are able to say that this is a meaningful alternative to conventional college education. That's how we put it. My own son went through this course 5 years ago. He graduated out of Zoho Schools after I homeschooled him, and he is now a colleague.
Oh, wow. That's pretty cool. Well, despite its beginnings as a way to find people, like for the company, you can definitely tell the way you've made it has, it certainly has, like, it has a deeper impact, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah, and that's really great. So you were talking about it a little earlier. Can you talk to us a little bit more on how Zoho Schools of Learning, formerly Zoho University, has just evolved over the last 18 years?
Yeah. So 18 years ago, it was an experiment. And at Zoho, we are pretty courageous with experimentation. Any direction you look on any common Monday morning, there'll be three experiments happening. The important thing here, though, about experimentation is we try to fail fast. We don't give it too much time to become too bad and too ugly a monster. The second important thing is we keep it small. We may have grand plans, we may think big, but when we start, we will try to iterate it fast and we will have small plans, just 6 students, just 1 faculty member, just 1 room this size, 6 computers. Let's see what magic you can work. That is how it started. But along the way, when more and more managers came, started giving feedback that, you guys are good. These guys, these kids, these boys and girls are doing amazing stuff. Can you give us more from this Zoho Schools? Can you expand? When they started asking, we started taking bolder steps. So along the way in 2011, 2012, we started a second branch of Zoho School of Technology in Tenkasi, another branch of Zoho. And then 2017, we started receiving students at our gates who already knew programming, who were already kind of having a computer at home that they were hacking together, doing some Python code. The internet, the national curriculum had brought in computer programming as a subject. And so we thought, if students are going to walk in with existing computer programming knowledge, it means no sense putting them together with other students we are getting from probably rural backgrounds who haven't even seen a computer before. So it'll either be too much to stomach for the kids who don't know anything, or it'll be too boring for the students who already know programming. So we created a separate hived off session called Zoho School for Advanced Study. So that is where you get deeper into programming. You experiment with mobile development. You try out some AI algorithms. So that was something that we have been doing for the past 6 years. Then we started the Zoho School of Design, followed by the Zoho School of Business. And the reasons we started these were, of course, one, as a company, you not only need programmers and hackers, you also need designers who will create the user experience, who will create the layout, the visuals, the icons, the promotional content, and so on. So you need a designer, somebody to draw and animate and, yeah. and deliver the visual experience. And you also need people who will write content, yeah. probably help pages, probably create a website, probably market and promote it on social media. You need that whole package. And when we started looking at it holistically, we realized that Zoho Schools of Learning is not special because of the faculty members here. No. It is not special because of the curriculum or the book recommended that we follow. The one or two things that are special about Zoho Schools here is the fact that it is running inside a company.
Oh, yeah. Right?
You share lunch. You share the cricket ground. You play together. You rub shoulders informally in the corridor. You get to meet managers. You get to meet your seniors, your colleagues. So that is how I even use a term there. I call it osmotic learning. You remember osmosis, where there is a semi-permeable membrane and some of it rubs off on you, right? So you hold a perfume bottle for long enough without opening it and then give it away. Your hand starts smelling good because you're being just with it. You're yeah. not learning anything directly in a classroom from that manager, but you are with that manager. You share working space with them. So we thought there is nothing special about the technology program that we can't reproduce in the design program or the marketing program. That is what gave us the courage to start off on these programs. Interestingly, the marketing program and the design program have received great reviews. As good as the reviews we have been getting for the past 15 years for the technology school. So today, around 250 students walk into our campus every year. And about 40 of them are from the School of Business. Around 25-30 of them would be from the School of Design. And about 150-200 of them would be from the School of Technology.
And I want to iterate that again, just like I love how Zoho Schools is meant for a company, yet it still has all these amazing impacts across, like, you know, low-income communities and uneducated people who like need more opportunities. Yeah. So it's great. It helps everybody. So what have you been the most proud of in Zoho Schools?
Okay, I have been involved with it since inception, since the first day when yeah. we all got together and the idea was born. So if you... I'm proud of every day I get to work with these students. That's my smart answer to that question. But looking back, if you want me to highlight one thing that I'm truly proud of having achieved here at Zoho Schools, is any system requires a counter system, however small or however large, that thumbs the nose at the main game and says there is another way you can play it too. Yeah? Okay. So any system, see, even Google, until ChatGPT came along, right? Google was the unquestionable king of search engines.
This is true.
And it could lay down the rules of how websites should be written, how yeah. content should be done, how ads can be marketed, how much an ad costs, everything. Google had the sole right to play yeah. the game. And when another person comes in, that's the time they panic. They tell this famous story about fish in Japan, that dead fish, the people didn't like it in the market. So they started bringing live fish in a tank. Have you heard of this story?
I have not.
Okay, so they started bringing live fish in a tank. And the people who bought the fish, they liked it that it was alive, but something was missing in the taste. It's not like the saltwater sea fish, because it had traveled in the tank for probably a week yeah. to reach the yeah. shore. And then one guy came up with the idea to drop a shark into the tank of fish. So there were 100 fish in the tank and one shark. And along the way, the week that it had taken to travel from the sea to the coast, probably 5 fish were eaten by the shark. But the rest of the 95, they were alive, agile, awake, and full of energy. And yeah, these people who bought the fish at the market wondered, what did you do? They are so good. They are so tasty. So the point I'm making here is, any system to really do well requires somebody to question it, requires somebody to ask why not, why should it be always done the way it has been done? Somebody once said, if you look at vehicles for transportation, the original Ford will look very different from a Tesla today. The original game of basketball will look very different from the way it is being played in the NBA today.
Oh, yeah.
But if you enter a classroom, there is a teacher up there who is facing the board, and there are students each having their own little table, pencil and pen and note. And 400 years ago, classrooms were like that. Nothing much has changed. So can we be a little agent of change? Can we show the world that you can attempt and try things differently too? That was something that we tried here at Zoho Schools. I wouldn't say we have succeeded 100%, but we have succeeded enough for a private company like Zoho, which is focused on doing well in the market, bringing amazing software to its customers, for such a company to devote enough time in this talent pool, talent manufacturing area. And in a way, we have also been empowering society, demonstrating that talent is universal everywhere. That is something that I'm truly proud of.
Yeah, well, on that, first of all, you have been pretty successful in making your own shark for education. That is for sure.
Then the important art of learning on the go. We teach them how to learn by themselves. But beyond all that, we also infuse the culture of Zoho.
Yeah.
What it means to be in a company like Zoho. What's the importance of longevity? What's the importance of understanding the values that Zoho swears by? So those are important. So I would like to aim for a 50% impact on the Zoho recruitment. Well, that's one thing. The second would be, I would like to introduce a more holistic learning platform than it is today. Today, we graduate students from the technology school, from the design school, from the business school, and each of them learn vertically, specifically to their domain.
Yeah.
But I hate that there aren't enough generalists out there. Yeah. That range that people talk about. You must have heard of the word polyglot.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. So we want to see if there can be a high-tech polyglot out there. Somebody who can hold his own or hold her own, not just in technology, but even in the spheres of design, spheres of customer experience, marketing, sales. Can we create somebody with such a multi-dimensional skill? That is something that I would focus on.
Okay.
And there is nothing sacred about the age that we have here, 17 to 20. Right now, that's been the way the Indian educational system, grade 12, ends by about 70 years. That's how we arrived at that number. But over the past couple of months, we have been receiving requests from students in grade 11.
Oh, wow.
I don't want to go to grade 12. Can I join Zoho Schools? But we have been telling them, no, you're not a major yet. We can't pay you money yet, and so on. So probably we will explore a direction where there is a prep school, a junior grade Zoho Schools equivalent.
Zoho prep.
Yeah. So where we give you the right aptitude and give you the right directional guidance, so that when the time comes for you to enter Zoho Schools, you are better prepared. So these are all things that we have been running around in our minds.
That first goal, what was that? That was the
50% of Zoho.
That was that one. Yes, exactly. I had a question about that. What do you think is causing that decline, and what could actually be done to like boost it high?
Decline? Which decline?
What decline? More like as in, you know, 15 instead of 50. Oh, why would it be like
I don't look at it as a decline. We started at zero. 100% of Zoho's recruitment happened around the world, from colleges around the country. And then when Zoho schools came into the game, it started contributing more and more students, okay, graduates.
That's right.
And so from zero, we have grown to 15. I would like to grow to 50. That's how I would put it.
What would be done to like
do that? What should we do to do that? Probably we should focus a little more on this horizontal learning that I talk about. So we don't see programming languages or diamond dozen today. One more is being launched day after tomorrow. Another will be launched before the student graduates. So you need to understand the bigger picture, as they say. So what's the art of problem solving? What's the art of computer programming? And not the nitty-gritties, nuts and bolts of a specific programming language. The same holds for design. The same holds for marketing. Today it is Twitter. Tomorrow there might be another social media tool that will have its own rules of engagement. But what's the end result of it all? You have a message to share, and you hope you have an audience to listen to you. So how do you make that connection? How do you empathize? How do you learn to persuade? These are things that we want to teach the students beyond just dabbling in tools. Anybody can learn tools. Probably YouTube has a video tutorial for it already. How can we share our experience? How can we give you stuff that nobody else can give you? That would be what we will focus more on.
Okay. Yeah. And just like all your other points. Mm-hmm. Those are some great goals to have.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So last question. What do you think are good attributes for an educator in general?
Right. So one of the most important attributes for an educator is that they should realize that they need to be learners too. Yeah? There is nothing called a person at the other side of the table where this person is the learner and that person is the educator or the giver. Because the body of content called knowledge has suddenly exploded in science. There was a time philosophers, the word philosophy actually comes from phil is love and soph is knowledge. So philosophy comes from love of knowledge. If you love knowledge, you're a philosopher. But in those times, in the times of Aristotle and Socrates, probably there was a limited amount of knowledge that you could stack in a simple library. And there were two kinds of people, those who knew how to read and those who didn't know how to read. But today, there is a third category. Those who know how to read, but now know that there is so much to read that they have no way of completing everything. That is the category we are all in. So as a teacher, an educator should look at themselves primarily as a learner. A co-learner. Come, if you don't know something and you've come to me, let us both look towards the problem. You don't look at me for the solution. Let us both look for the solution together.
Yeah.
Probably I have some experience because I know the lie of the land, but come along with me. Let us both hunt. That attitude is very important.
Yeah.
The second one I would underline, I would stress on, is you need to be a doer. I think it was Bernard Shaw who said that those who know, do. Those who don't, teach. That was pretty, pretty cruel to say that about a teacher. But the sorry state of affairs in many educational institutions today is most of the teachers haven't done it at all. They have switched from learning to teaching without that crucial intermediary called doing. So I want all educators to not only learn how to do, but to keep doing. In fact, the best way a student can learn from you is by observing how you do it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Right? So every student looks up to an educator who is actually a doer. I'm not sure if you have heard of the Indian epic Mahabharata. You must have vaguely heard of it, Ramayana and Mahabharata, two Hindu epics in India. Okay, great, great wars. Okay. So one of the classic takeaways for me from that epic is this kid will fight against his teacher and lose. And lose.
Yeah.
How many teachers can claim today that if their student comes in front of them and there is a match of wits, a battle of wits, the teacher will win, particularly in the domains of high technology? You can't. Most of the time, it's the student that spins off on a startup, comes up with an amazing algorithm. If you remember Silicon Valley, the famous series, it's that kid who comes with that middle out algorithm. Do you remember? Yeah? So that is something that I hope educators imbibe. The art of doing, continuing to do while you teach.
Okay, yeah, both of those are really great points.
Uh-huh.
Like, for the first one about the three different types of, like, reading, but knowing there's more,
right,
and then not.
Yeah, yeah.
But so would you say that the problem for some teachers in other types of education is that they're just stuck in, they can read,
correct,
but not the
second. What about your own experience? You're in school still?
Yeah.
So what do you drop your jaw at when you look at your teachers? And where do you say, meh?
Should I answer this?
Why not? Go ahead.
Well,
you can cut it out of the final interview if you want.
I'm pretty lucky. I have some pretty good teachers.
Amazing.
I would say that, yeah. And most of my teachers are very based in, I can learn from you, you can learn from me, and we're going to do
that
together.
That's the attitude. That's the attitude.
Yeah, it's a pretty great way to go. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad that local schools is doing that too. So, yeah.
Nice.
Well, thank you so much for your time, Mr. Rajendran. I believe that this is something that people should really think about in the U.S. where college degrees leave students in a mountain of debt, and the curriculum and undergraduate may not even directly train you for your career choice. Something has to be done, and perhaps a model like Zoho Schools is worth considering. That's it for A Change of the Chance, episode 26. I hope you learned something, and I'll see you in the next episode. Bye!